Okay, let's continue. Okay, we're up to Sefer Malachi Perek Gimel. We did the Malbum. Okay, we're up to where we did after the Mamar Chazal. We're almost finished. Another day or two. Okay, we're up to listen to the Mamar Chazal. Going back to Pasigin, Pasigitas goes back to page 903. On page 903, we have Mamar Chazal on the bottom, the Likutei Shas, Ki Hinei Hayom Bo Boyer Ketan V'Hoi Yichol Zeitim V'Hoi Yichol Zekash Risha. Rabbi Meir, you see that Meir, you come over today, you get honorable mention. Rabbi Meir, Meir, Mai Talmud Loimar U'Moshav Leitzim Lo Yoshav.
Yeah?
U'Moshav Leitzim. The Moish of Leitzim, oh, this thing is not working, one second.
That's a pool.
The Moish of Leitzim, or Yoshav, says in the Pasuk, Rabbi Meir, Oime, Matam, or Rishle, Elu Tar, Elu Tar, Ti Ois, Vi, Kirkis, So Ois, Shal Goyim. These are the circuses and the amphitheaters. Okay, these are the amphitheaters, the circuses and the amphitheaters, Shal Goyim, Shabachem, Donis, and the Foshas, Lohamis.
Right.
Okay,
not like what we think of today.
Okay, this okay, this is refers to.
No, I'm serious about that.
What do you mean?
What I mean is, it doesn't mean like going to a Broadway show or going to see the circus. The circus is the gladiator contest.
Right, right.
And the theaters were those, although there may be some today. That
recording
were critical
in progress.
Of society,
trying
to tear down the values of society.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what is meant by that.
Tear down the values of society?
Right.
Okay, so...
Kind of, yeah. That tried to...
And it was a form of entertainment. It was a form of entertainment.
Yeah, but not an appropriate form of entertainment.
Right, it was a corrupt form to tear down the values of society. Well, people who are online, we're learning on page 903, the Mamori Chazal, in Perigimel Pasuk Yutes, page 903. So it says over here that this Pasuk over here, so it says in the Pasuk of Moshe Avletzim Lo Yoshev, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. 6 lines down, 903, Likutei Shas. Elu Tar Tiois V'Kir Ki So'oi Shel Goyim, some type of
Theaters
and circus. Theaters right. And farshas. Shabbat and the farshas lohamis. They judge people. They decide who miyichim miyamos. Umahu pur anusam loasilah. Well, that's the Moshe of Leitzim. The Moshe of Leitzim is a place where, okay, these type of places. What's going to be their punishment?
Mass gatherings
where they decide life and death issues.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
Throw you to the lions.
Gladiators. Gladiators, exactly.
Right.
Or
knows.
You would say, you can say
or
in certain.
Seven
look, you talk about talk about even in Congress, the House of Representatives. You know, they're voting on matters that affect people's lives. Okay, you're voting on things that will have a direct consequence on the creation of jobs, the loss of jobs. People, some they pass a law that's not fair. Someone loses their job. They lose health insurance. Tremendous agmas nefesh. People commit suicide over.
Yep.
So when laws are passed that people have a lot, that have affect their lives.
Mm.
Dealing over here with centers where there's debate and negotiation over issues in society, all different types of issues, and affect people's lives. So to some degree, when it's corrupt, when there is a strong degree of corruption, this is called the Moshe of Leitzim. And what is their punishment? Our pasuk. Now, when it says over here, the pasuk is Zaydim. The Chayu Chol Zaydim. The Ein is Zaydim Ela Leitzim. The Zaydim are the Leitzim. Shnemar Zayd Yohir, a person acts with Zayd with wickedness, with a premeditated intent to do harm,
yes.
Late Shemo. I always tell you this, I go back to ninth grade. What?
The classical translation of, like, in the first parak of Tehillim, Moshav Leitzim, they usually translate it as the scorners.
Scorners. So I always go back to what I remember.
Reject good values, in other words.
Something I learned in ninth grade, the difference between the late and the Choylif, or Siegfried.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this from this goes back before my celebrations. Rabbi Siegfried, he taught us is that what is the difference between a leitz and a choynef? These two words are the opposite. A leitz is a person who takes something that is valuable, that is choshuv, that has real value, and makes out of it nothing, degrades it to the lowest level. A choynef is just the opposite. He takes narishkeit, something that is foolishness, and he elevates it. This is the most important thing in this world. These are two opposite extremes. So a zayd yohir, a person who acts as this, I don't know if it really fits over here into this translation, but a yohir means arrogance. Zayd, he behaves with premeditation. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he behaves with arrogance. I know that this is a leitz shemo. The essence of this person is a leitz. Now, that one doesn't fit well with the translation I just taught from Rabbi Siegfried from the ninth grade, but they're cousins. But a Zayd is a wicked person. Person's premeditated, and there's a degree of arrogance. So it says in our pasuk that these people, the Zaydim, the Hoya Chol Zaydim, the Chol Oseh Risha Kash. Fine. Next halacha. Ketane b'nei Risha Yisrael, ein boim le'ulam haba. The children of the wicked people, of it says b'nei rishe yisrael ein ba'in la'olam haba. These are very mystical things. Shenemar kinei hayoyim ba'boy katanim hayuchol zaydim v'chol oisei risha kash milad oisam hayoyim haba amar shem tzavakas asher lo yazov lohem, will not be left over the shoresh v'onaf. So this is what we had in the Medr, in the Targum. Shoresh ba'olam hazeh v'onaf la'olam haba divrei Rabban Gamliel. The first opinion is that these wicked people are not going to have left over a root or a branch. A shoresh is this world, a branch is the next world. Rabbi Akiva Omer, bo'im heim lo'olam haba. They do, he disagrees, they will come lo'olam haba. Now how does this apply to children? So obviously you have to go back to the Targum. I guess he's trying to say here is that there are two dimensions to this pasuk. One dimension is shoresh, the anaf, refers to the children and the grandchildren. And mitzat sheni, it refers to this world and next world. So when we put these two concepts together, many times when you have two different interpretations, they're not mutually exclusive. They're just two dimensions of the same concept. And since we've learned continuously, we learned a few times already, the shoresh v'anaf refers to children, the wicked people. Their punishment is, there will be nothing that will come from them. That is the ultimate punishment. Many times they're a person, so they, unfortunately, they were not given the opportunity in their lifetime to accomplish things that they would be proud of. But they have children, and they have grandchildren. And the children, grandchildren, is what gives them enormous satisfaction. Although I was unable in my lifetime to achieve what I would have wanted to do for different reasons, but at least my children, my grandchildren, they live on and they are fulfilling what I really would have wanted to do. That brings a person enormous satisfaction. The ultimate punishment to a person is that he does not leave over in this world a shoresh v'anaf. He's not going to leave over children and grandchildren. And that's what it's saying over here is these people, they're not going to have a sherish or not, but this Maimon Chazal takes it to a new dimension. And it says not only will their children he'll not leave over the children in this world, they will perish prematurely. They will not even enter into Olam Haba, because the word sherish interprets to mean this world, and anaf is the next world. So you take those two concepts, put them together, you intertwine them, then it means that you synthesize them, it means that the children will also not merit Olam Haba. And that creates a whole new dimension of pain, and not only will their children not have this world, they're not going to live in this world, they're even not going to be allowed to enter into Olam Haba. That is certainly an extreme form of punishment. Rabbi Akiva says, Chas v'sholom to say such a thing. How could you say such a thing? Boim heim l'olam haba. Although maybe a person unfortunately did not merit that his children will succeed in this world, but his children will be with him in the next world. Now obviously all of these things to us are totally just words, because we have really no idea what it means. It means that a person should have his children with him in olam haba, or at least his children should go to olam haba. What does that mean exactly? Who knows? We find with Rashbi. Rashbi, he went into the cave with Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer, he was buried with him. And you have all these, you know, these chassidus shemaitzloch, where even in the Gemara, where a person has, in the Olam Haba, he needs servants, he needs shamoshim. And you hear all these stories, like, you know, these things which don't mean anything to us, is that this certain person, he died. Why? Because he had to prepare so that his master was leaving the world in a short period of time. So they had to prepare in the next world, you know, servants. I mean, what do these things mean? I have no idea. I'm not going to make really know what these things mean. But over here it says, this over here obviously is source material for this principle, where it talks about children and grandchildren in one dimension. That's what it says in the Targum. And it says in Chazal, refers to this world and the next world. And obviously over here, this Maimon Chazal is putting the two together, that the children of the wicked people of Klal Yisrael, they will not go to Olam Haba. What? Who was mentioning the children? What's going on over here? I don't know. These are just words. Let's go further. Next halacha. Gasei haruach. Arrogant people. Notice there are many different words in the Chazal to describe arrogance. We have the word yoh here. We have gasei haruach. There are people. Okay, I don't remember. There are many different words to describe the trait of arrogance. The gasei haruach umesaprei lashayin hara umedabrei nivola. People who speak nivol peh vachachamim beinehen. And people. This is unique. You don't come across this too often. People who think they're chachamim.
Oh,
they think they're very wise. Like you say, the chacham from the manishtana. Everyone knows that expression. Oh, the chacham from the manishtana. It's a euphemism for basically this idea, the person who thinks he's so smart, and in the eyes of the world, he's a tippish. The chacham from the manishtana, the chacham be'enehem, aleihem ha'kosav, ha'merkihine ha'yom bo'boyim katanur, they will suffer. Now, how do you get all these people into this pasuk here? I don't know. But all of these people are included in this expression. Next halacha. Why does it say in this pasuk the word three times? Which pasuk are we referring to? Not the pasuk over here in front of us, but the pasuk in Devarim. Hayoim. And then it goes on to say, hayoim. Why does it say three times? It already was hinted to the word Hayoim. This was hinted to on Shabbos, the man. Ichluhu Hayoim, ki Shabbos Hayoim laHashem. Hayoim loy simtsu basodeh. Amalohen, the answer is, kidei sheti notzlu miyoim shekosovo ki hinei Hayoim bo bo katanur. And then the next pasuk, we didn't do this pasuk yet. Lifnei bo hidyanochi shleach lachem eis Eliyahu hanavi. Lifnei bo yom Hashem. That's the last pasuk. Okay, now is that the last pasuk? Hidyanochi, the second last pasuk.
Right.
So what we're doing over here is what in essence, when you take out of this is great the chaimer l'drush. There are three pesukim. Or there are three sections of the Torah where the word Hayoim appears three times. One is Le'osid Lava, the times of Mashiach, the end of days. Ki hine Hayoim ba'abur katana. And it says, V'liat oisam Hayoim haba. They will be ignited. Hine anochi yishlech lachem eis Eliyahu Hanavi lifnei bo. What was that pasuk? Just the last pasuk. Hine anochi yishlech lachem eis Eliyahu lifnei bo yom Hashem. Hey Shiva, we was Hayom in that pasuk.
Yom,
maybe just Yom. Bo Yom, Yom Hashem. Listen, Bo Yom Hashem. So over here we have Le'osid Lavo. There is this Yom, and on this Yom, the Yom is Boyer Katanur, and the Tzadikim are going to thrive, and the Rishonim are going to be destroyed. This corresponds to the Mon Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh is called Hayom three times.
Right.
And that corresponds, and Hashem says, make a good decision. Re'e anochi noseh lifneichem hayoim, the bracha and the klala. If you'll do the bracha today, you'll be in good shape. If you're not going to listen to me, you're going to do bad things, you're going to be in trouble. So there is a correlation between Shabbos, Bechira Chofshis, and La'osilava. And this creates a whole concept that Shabbos is the ultimate Bechira. Interesting. We have a very interesting concept. We have a halacha that if a person is a shomer Shabbos, everything is good. he wanted to define a person as being a Jew with regard to all matters. Let's say, you know, let's say he doesn't keep kashrus. He's not so miser. He was caught going into McDonald's. Or someone, let's say, he doesn't daven into minyan. But he's a Shomer Shabbos. On Shabbos, he does not do melacha. Shabbos, he comes home early, comes to shul. He may not be the best, you know, the most, but Shabbos is Shabbos. So this person is defined as a Shomer Shabbos. He's given full card-carrying rights as being a member of Klal Yisrael. But if a person is nizar, is meticulous in every single mitzvah, he puts on the best tefillin, he eats only the most kosher food, he goes, he davens, but Shabbos, he couldn't care less. Shabbos is Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos, he's out. His status is almost like a non-Jew. Shabbos is the Iker. And that's one Yisrael. Number two, Bechira. We all know that we're put in this world to make decisions. Bechira Chavshas. So if you put this whole Mamre Chazal together, it's telling us your choice regarding observing Shabbos is what's going to get you to Olam Haba. There's the Chut HaMashosh. There's Shabbos is called Hayoyim. Bechira, free will. Your obligation to make the correct decision of Ubacharta Bachayim and Olam Haba is called Yom. These three go together. A person has to decide, will he be Shomer Shabbos, will he not? That decision regarding Shabbos is your ticket to Olam Haba. Let's say he makes a bad decision regarding Kashus, he makes a bad decision regarding Davening, regarding not doing other mitzvahs. Okay, so you made a bad decision. It's not going to affect your Olam Haba. I mean, you'll get a ticket into Olam Haba. Where you're going to sit, it's a different story. But you're going to get into Olam Haba. These three things go together because these three things are the only three, according to this Medrash, which have within them a trial of Hayoyim, Hayoyim, Hayoyim. Three times the word Hayoyim.
It's interesting, my father told me in the 1940s, when he came back after the war, whatever, they wanted to set up Shidduchim, set up, that was the word they wrote, he's a Shomer Shabbos.
Shomer Shabbos.
They didn't go through the whole Yisrael.
It's the Shomer Shabbos. That's the famous.
Now I understand even more that Iker that was in that statement.
Shabbos is the Iker. Shabbos, more than the Jew keeps the Shabbos keeps the Jew. Okay, Shabbos is all. It's in halacha. It's in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the person is not observant of all the other mitzvahs, but he's Shomer Shabbos. He has the status of a Jew of a Yisrael. If Chas V'Shalom is not a Shomer Shabbos, no matter what, then it doesn't mean anything. My grandfather was a Rebbe in RJJ, and. You know, in very different times, my grandfather was a survivor, and he came to America, and you know, there was a new generation of Talmidim, and one of his best Talmidim, Rachmana Litzlan, he went off the Derech. Parents sat Shiva for him, he was a tremendous, and he was a brilliant boy, and my mother says that this boy, he loved to learn, and Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, I think he lives in California now, he sits on Shabbos with a cigarette, and he learned to daf Gemara with a cigarette on Shabbos.
That's the way it was back then also.
What became of him?
They tell me that they would sit smoking a cigar.
On Shabbos.
Yeah.
They had a geschmack in learning Torah, and unfortunately they were not Shomer Shabbos, and that unfortunately says it all. Okay, next Chazal. Okay, we have a few more chazal. A lot of them are very quickly. Parsikah. Mizarcha lochem yirei shmi. It will shine for them, those who fear my name. Ashemesh tzedakah. It will shine for them, for whom? The yirei shemayim. It always comes down at the end of the day to yirei shemayim. Everything at the very end of the day is yirei shemayim. Look at this over here, the end of Nevi'im. The end of Nevi'im. What is it all about? Before the coming of Mashiach, before Hinei Nochi, it's Vezor Cholochem Yirei Yishmi. How did it all start? Avraham Avinu, Ata Yodati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. All started with the 10 Nisyonis, and Hashem's stamp of approval was Yirei Shemayim. who is the only nation that will be completely obliterated off the face of the earth? Amalek. Why? V'lo yorei Elokim. At the end of the day, Yirah Shemayim is the Rav Moshe Feinstein, who gave brachas. You don't hear this today. People give, we go to a big rebbe today. What do they give you bracha for? You bracha, buhu. Bracha v'hatzlach. Not Hashem saying anything better. Hashem. Bracha v'hatzlach. You go to be, you shall get a good shidduch. You shall have parnasa. You should have healthy children. You should have success. Rav Moshe, when he gave a bracha, he says you should be a Yirah Shemayim. Hashem should give you the koyach. You should have siyata d'shmaya in being a yorei shemayim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, that was the bracha he used to give people. Not all these other type of things. If you have yirah shemayim, you'll have everything that you need. Here it's the end of days. Avivin was the haschala yirah shemayim kirei lukim ata. One of the best psukim, one of the most satisfying psukim in the whole Tanakh is when Avraham came to Avimelech. And Abimelech said to Avram, what did you do? Mori Isa. Mori, what did we do to you? What did you do? Mori Isa shall see so es hadavar hazeh. And what Avram say? He says, Rak. Ein yiras Elohim b'mokoyim hazeh. And the old Mepharshim say, what's with Rak? Avram said to Abimelech, this society of yours is phenomenal. You have social services, you have entitlements, you have government stipends, you have, it's a land of opportunity. Eretz Pelishtim, Avimelech was a king of the most sophisticated society the world ever saw. How do you know that? From one word, Rak. You have here in this country everything a human being can want in this world. You have perfected society to the nth degree. There is absolutely nothing lacking. You know what that means? Every social scientist, whatever they can possibly wish for a society, was found in Eretz Pelishtim. You can take all the miles. If someone will tell you, will argue that there are miles in communism, socialism, totalitarianism, and in capitalism. Take the milus of every single system of economics, of society, take the milus and try to go make one society that has it all. Eretz Pelishtim achieved that. They had everything you could possibly, every benefit. There's only one thing you're missing here. One little thing. Rak. Ein yiras Elohim b'mokoyim hazeh. And when there's no yiras Shemayim, all of the milus will unravel and you'll be left with zero. Now the zero will be negative. That's the only thing that's missing. Someone should get up in Congress and say this. They won't even want to listen. Rock in the U.S. looking at Mokai as a society, you know, we're living in a very dangerous time. Mamash, you know, where this country was established was built upon a foundation of faith. God, the God we trust. You don't hear about that anymore. You know, it's like taboo. Talk about God. And talk about God is like, you know, it's you're not allowed to say that. It's everything is whatever. It's a very dangerous thing.
We have it in the Akedah. After your
Dati, right? That's what I said. That's what it all began. That's exactly what I said. Avram Avinu, the very beginning, our patriarch, the beginning of the beginning, when he was selected, what was his chasima that I'm going to give your zera, ato yodati. Now I know ki yirei Elokim ata lechasachtas bin chasichitcha mineni. It all started with a stamp of approval of Yirah Shemayim. Here we're living the very, very end of Navi, the last Navi, Malachi, the last Navi, the last words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does it say? The end of days. End of days. Vezorach lohem for whom the Yirei Shemi. Yirah Shemayim goes from the beginning to the very, very end. You can have everything in this world, a world of plenty. Of blessing, but if there's one thing that's missing, you'll have nothing. Rak in Yiras Lokim Abokam Azeva Haraguni Al Devar Ishi. There's no Yirah Shemayim, it will lead to murder. It will lead to nothing. So here we have the pasuk Zerchol Hamid Yishami Yishemish Dako Marpe Bechol Nevnecha Vitzasem Vibishtem Vikegli Marbek. You'll go out and it will shine for you a son of Tzedakah a shemesh of tzedakah, a shemesh of tzedakah and healing. Okay, this very mystical thing that we keep on talking about, and it's found all over Chazal, all over Chazal, that the end of days, in the end of days, man will be in need of healing. And no one really seems to know what this means. What is the healing referring to? It's very natural that no one wants to say the healing means physical illness. No, you never got that impression. All the years you learn these things, you never get the impression in the Yosefer Yecheskel, there's a trickle of water that's going to come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's going to come out further, it's going to spread to the entire world, and that trickle of water that will come out is going to provide for the world healing. Here, there's going to be umarpe bichnofeha, healing. In the kinos, kinochavches, where it goes through clear as day, it goes through world history, the very, very last line is that the oivdei habal, those the worshippers of the Baal, what does the Baal mean? Authority, those who worship authority, totalitarianism, people, oivdei habal, simply means avodah zara, people who worship the Baal means avodah zara. They're going to say to the Jewish people, for you, there is no healing. There's no healing for you. There's no, you cannot be healed. What does that mean? Everything there in that kina is unbelievable. It's like on the dot, world history from beginning to end. Even in modern day, Holocaust is there. The Intifada is there. It's like explicit. And then you come to the very last line, and like, what? What does this mean? The oivdei habal, there are no people today who worship idols, the Baal. What does that mean? And what are they going to say to the Jewish people at the very end of days? For you? No. There is no healing. Obviously, that's picking up upon what it says over here, this pasuk. There's going to be umarpei. There's going to be healing, bichnofeha. And obviously, it refers to what it says in Sefer Yecheskel, that the trickle of water will come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim will go and provide healing to the entire world. What does that mean? Who's sick? We don't think we're sick. There's no physical illness. We don't want to go show home. So today, Baruch Hashem, we live in the modern world. There's technology. There's medicine. There's advancement in science to a degree that's mind-boggling in understanding. And we all feel that we have no longevity. There are mahalchim how to a person can be healthy. So what does this mean? So the person says, we say it means spiritual illness. Right, we are warped in the spiritual world, and that's the healing. But you know what's going on the last 2 years, the last 20 months? And you know, unfortunately, for a lot of people, when you read these things over here, healing, living in a world of pandemic, and this, you know, you begin to wonder, chas v'shalom, what does this really mean? Chas v'shalom, you know, much rather go back to the old interpretation, that this is nothing more than a metaphor for spirituality, and not chas v'shalom, anything physical. But it's very, we're living in very frightening times. This is going to be marpe bichnofecha v'tzosem, you'll go forth, and the pishtem, you'll become fat. Okay, that these two is an oxymoron. Healing and being fat don't seem to go together. Okay, 90%.
Well, it was thought.
We said years ago that plump.
Yes, that it was.
Being plump is a sign of health. Not today. Today they say that being overweight is the source of many issues. Upishtem, so therefore, it was Mama Chazal. Omar, Rabbi Shimon Zvazvid. 904, okay, let's see the top line. Omar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Zvid. Omar, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Tavlo. Omar, Rabbi Chia B'Aricha. Rabbi Chia B'Aricha. The day Rabbi Acha. Aricha means he was the tall one. The Aricha, the tall one, the long one. Omar, Rabbi, or maybe Aricha, no, Aricha, how do you say healing in Hebrew, in Aramaic? It's the word Arucha, I think, right? Is that the word?
Chaim. Healing.
It means healing. Yeah. So maybe Rabbi Chia, Aricha means the doctor. Chaim. Yes, the chai, you have to be healthy, but I think if I'm not mistaken, Aramaic, the aleph reish chaf is related to the word of healing. a doctor. So I'm just trying to think out loud with you that maybe when it says Rabbi Chia Aricha, it's a very unusual word, it can mean, I remember vaguely remember learning once upon a time the different interpretation of what this means. It means that he was very tall, or he was very old, or he was a doctor. Rabbi Chia Aricha, it was a title, a doctor. You go to the surgeon general, the surgeon general of the country. Debay Rabbi Acha, Omar Rabbi Zera, a lot of names. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Omar Rabbi Miyosha, Mishmeid, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ila, Yemiyav Shachazal, so many names, such a Mesara, Kol Oimer Gavar Mishem Omroi, Navy, Gu'ulo Lioilam. Yamamish going back to my celebrations over here. Who said the halacha? My decision is Zarka Lacham Liyir Shemi, Shemesh Zaka, Eilu B'nei Adam Shehein Yireim Lohitzi Shem Shemaim Levat Hala. What it means over here is the Yirei Shemi. Yirei Shemi, it is defined by a person who's afraid to be Moitzi, the Shem Shemaim. Now, what's the big deal? Obviously, it's a lot more than just saying Hashem's name. Obviously, it means that there's an inner spiritual sensitivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's awe. Okay, is awe. Shem Shemaim Levatolo, Shemesh Tzedaku Marpe. What does that mean? Amar Abaye Shemaim Ino, Chirga B'yoyma Masei. What is Chirga? This is getting to science. Avak Hayoyim Mirape. Okay, the Shemesh, light, this goes to Einstein. Is light, how does light work? Is light particles? Okay, go back to high school. The definition of light. What exactly is light? Is light a stream of particles? Is there dust?
No.
Or light is, what is light? How do you define light? It's not so simple. I think it's a big machlekes today in science. What exactly, still it's not clear, what exactly is light? There are waves. There are waves. There are waves. There's a refraction. Okay, but it's not so simple. I think the maskana is elu ve'elu. There are different theories as to what exactly, how do you define light? What is light? Is there any mass? Is there any mamoshus under a microscope? Is there any mass in light? Are there particles, or is light nothing more than just?
In a dark hole, the gravity pulls in the light and removes the light, so it has to be some kind of element.
So that's the big question. But over here, Google this. Google this and look at it. I think, if I'm not mistaken, from my earlier days, there are two major theories in science as to how to define light. What is light? And I think the maskana is elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are two elements in what light is. There are particles. There's mass. There are some whatever neutrons, protons. There are elements there, but it's also nothing to do with. It's something to do with
waves.
There's both of these concepts merged together to define in science what is light. So, well, you know, only today, the 21st century, we study these things. They studied these things 1,000 years ago also. And 1,000 years ago, Abaye came to the conclusion, Shema Mina, Abaye was no less than Einstein. And Abaye came to the conclusion that in light there are particles. He says, Chirga diyoyma masi. What's Chirga? According to the editor of this edition of Art Scroll, so obviously he took this from one of the commentators, on this Chazal, Avak. The word Chirga means dust. Now dust, by definition, means particles. The dust that is found in the Shemesh, okay, these particles, Mirape, provides healing. Okay, it's an amazing thing, an amazing concept to take this Chazal and you know, you go, when did the first, when was it first published, first studied, these concepts, if light has matter, many years after Abaya.
Yeah,
many years.
What?
In the year, so that's already, that's over 500 years approximately. That's over more, that's 1500 years since Abaya. Okay, 1200 years. Abaya was approximately the year 500, approximately. Abaya was approximately the year 500. So dealing over here, 1300 years later, they're coming, they're saying there's particles of this particles. Look at this. A Chazal, 1200 years before, said that in the sun there is chirga, and chirga means dust. Do you see dust in the light? I don't see any dust.
You know, when you see like a stream of light, you see a little right. Dust.
Right. So that, I don't think that's not light. That just sound is pollution. That's pollution.
You
stop, right?
You see light.
Yeah.
No particles.
You see. What does the Bible mean over here? Rav Nachman is saying when you go outside and you see the rays of the sun, so you see in the rays, you see like these little particles.
Right.
I'm assuming that's pollution. No. That's not what it means. It's dust, right? So is that what it means over here? It means that's what he's referring to? Or he's referring to something much, much more, 1300 years?
Unless it reflects off something.
Right, there are two elements in light. There are waves, and there's also...
You can't see it, because it's like going from one end to the other.
Okay, I'm just throwing out ideas.
Unless there's something that reflects off of it.
Did Abaye know something we don't know? Was there some type of science and technology that we don't know? You know, you go on YouTube. I clicked on a link a couple of days ago about. I told you about this in Egypt. They have these boxes. These are containers, boxes that are. It's a mystery. Ad hayom hazeh. How in the world did the ancient Egyptians make these boxes? They are smooth. The precision of their shape, of the symmetry in, you know, whether they're square or they're rectangular, is beyond perfect. And even today, we can't replicate with such precision to create shapes, especially out of raw material, out of clay, out of how in the world did they make these boxes? And then what's interesting was they had like a whole sequence of them and they were missing some. So they made in later years, talking about the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they made a couple of more to fill in the ones that were missing. And the ones that they made later, the carbon dating is they were made later, they were like, they didn't replicate the old ones. They're rough, they're nothing special. Anyone can do that. But they had, the majority of them were from earlier times. Some of them broke, so they had to replace them, so they made some new ones. So the Egyptians, in the later generations, were lacking the technology of the Egyptians in the earlier generations. And ad hayom hazeh, it is mysterious, it's not known, how in the world were they able to create these boxes that are, we have precision that is beyond belief. Google this on YouTube, the Egyptian boxes, the ancient Egyptian boxes.
They tried today to recreate a chariot with the tools of those days. It took them 6 months to make one chariot. What?
And to the pyramids, how to make the pyramids. And you go also to know the funniest things, you go to the Kaisel Maravi, you go into everyone here, I'm sure, one of the tunnel tours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they show you a video. The video already is so old, it's already time they should replace, they have an upgrade the video. It's a good video, but it's like 20 years ago. And they show you how they made the Kaisel. They show you how they take the stones that are just massive and they put them in place. They show you all these things that they did. A lot of the experts say that video is fantasy. That the way they try to show you how they put these massive stones of the Kaisel HaMaravi, how they put them in place. There's no...
They weigh like 100 tons. You don't know.
And they show you how they did it. They have a piece of wood and they roll it. The experts say that this is just fantasy land to say. We really don't know. It is just, there are too many questions as to how they were able to put the stones of the Kaisel HaMaravi in position the way they are today. And at the end of the day, we really don't know. We really don't know. And they fool you by showing you these cartoon videos of how perfect they had all these workers, and they had ramps, and they had rollers, and they pushed them up these ramps. What?
It's only a theory.
No, but they claim that it's a matter of fact. So this is how they did it. Not so pasha. Nothing is simple today.
According to Rabbi Google,
yes,
light is composed of photons. So we can ask, is there mass to photon? The answer is definitely no. The photon is a massless particle. According to theory,
it's
energy, momentum, but no mass.
And
this is confirmed by experiment within strict limits.
So this is Rabbi Google. This is in Choylik. Rabbeinu Google was in Choylik on Abaya.
That's Einstein.
On Abaya. On Abaya says there's Chigra. Shema mina Chirgo diyoyim amase. Okay, I'm not gonna argue with Rabbeinu Google. he's an acharon.
I'm not gonna.
What?
Who gave him smicha? Zuckerberg. Who gave him?
I don't know. Okay, but it, even though it says that there, it says what it says Rabbeinu Google. In my mind, I vaguely remember that there are two mahalchem as to define what is light. One is that approach. It's just a refraction of space, and I don't even know what I'm saying. And there's another mahalchem that is actually there are particles. And I think they wanted to say what I remember is it has to be there's elements of truth in both. I don't know anything. But you cannot ignore what it says here. Abaya, who lived a long time ago, he said, Shma mina chirga diyema mase. At least according to the editor, Ava kayom market. Oh, believe it, Mishim and Lokesh. Diyamar, he says, Ein gehenim lelum haba. He says, there is no gehenim lelum haba. So what does that mean? So what does that mean over here? How is he coming here to argue? According to Abaya, Abaya seems to say that the Shemesh Tzedakah Umarpe means there's going to be, is the Gehenim? He's learning there's going to be two different things. There's going to be Gehenim and there's going to be a Shemesh Tzedakah Umarpe. Let's read further. We had this before, but we had this before actually yesterday in the Malbim. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Minar Tika. Hashem will take out the sun from its sheath. Tzadikim misrapim bo, the tzadikim will be healed, Urasham nidonim bo will be judged, Shenema, this very pasuk, V'zorcho lochem yirei shmi shemesh, V'loy oid ela shemis ad ninbo, they will take delight in this sun. Shenema v'yitzvasem, they will go out in this light, they will go out in this light. Someone asked the question yesterday, what does it mean v'yitzvasem? So then we learned the Radak. Radak said it means that whatever you do in life, whatever profession, whatever thing that you intend to engage in, if you want to give a shir, you'll have a lot of people coming to listen. You want to have a kollel, you'll have a lot of people. You want to earn a lot of money, you'll be, whatever you want to do, you'll be successful. That's how the Radak learns the word Vitzvasem. He says, no, Vitzvasem means you'll go out to bathe, almost. That's what he's saying is, Eloshem is admin bo. You will bathe, take delight in the sun. People go, right? They go to the beach. They go to the beach, they lie down, and they bathe in the sun. Where does that come from? I'm suggesting that concept that the world is obsessed with, to go out to the beach and lie down and to bathe in the sun, is really in their neshama a yearning for olam haba of a shemesh marpe. There's a shemesh marpe, and in a person's neshama, they know this pasuk subconsciously, vitzosem, you're going to go out, like it says here in this chazal, and to bathe in that light. Unfortunately, they're making a mistake because the Shemesh today is not the Shemesh that this pasuk is referring to. But, you know, in a person's neshama, there's a certain sensitivity. Isn't it very bizarre? Why would you want to go to the beach lying in a hot sun? What is all that? So you're telling me you really enjoy it? I guess people really do. But it has to be there's something spiritual. Everything that a person gives the Olam Hagashmi has to have a root, a shoresh in the Olam Haruchim. And this is an amazing pasuk. It talks about a Shemesh Tzedakah, Umarpe bichna feha vitzosem. Chazal say ba shemis adnin ba shenema vitzosem. You'll go out with fishtem and you will become fat. Okay, maybe there's another meaning for the word fishtem. Ke egle marbeik. Period. The arishon nidonim ba. The wicked will suffer in this very same light. Shenema hine hayoyim ba barakat hanur. It's burning. All right. I don't have clarity in the machleik between Abaya. Between Abaya, Abaya is an Amora, Rishim ben Lakish is a Tana. So who? This whole thing starts with. Let's go explain this a little bit better. It says Eilu ben Adam Shirim Shemesh Amra Shemesh Tzedakah Marpe. Now it's a Tana. The Tana was the last name. The Tana was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi was a Tana, and he says that Shemesh Tzedakah Marpe refers to a group of people. Eilu b'nei Adam shem yireg v'chaytzi shem shvam l'vatala shem shtaku marpe. This refers to who? It refers to the reward, it seems like there's going to be two different groups. There's going to be the Shemesh Tzadok Marpeh is going to be for the Tzadikim only. That's what it seems in the Machlokes. And what about the Rishoyim? The Rishoyim are going to go to the Gehenim. This Shemesh Tzadok is exclusive for Tzadikim in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Exclusive for the Tzadikim. Upliga Rabbi Shimon Lakish. He says it's not exclusive for the Tzadikim. This Shemesh is for both the Tzadikim and for the Rishon. The only difference is that Tzadikim will indeed take delight in its rays, but the Rishoyim, they have a different composition, and this Shemesh is going to destroy them. So it's not just for the Tzadikim, it is for both. Okay, so this is line. We had this before. Let's go to the next one.
The sun has healing properties. We know you need to sit out in the sun. You say when you sit out in the sun, you feel better. For the synthesis, they get your vitamin D, they get all it, but the other person, it's causing a melanoma. So it can go both ways. Excellent. So this is a dogma in this world, a dogma in this world, that for one person the rays of the sun can be a health asusa, vitamin D, they say in a dogma, taking a pill, vitamin D is nothing. Connected, going out in the
most
sun.
Most people are vitamin D deficient. Yeah. I'm sure you've been in this room.
Yeah, right, 100%. And they say, taking a vitamin D pill, taking the vitamins, yeah, it's good, it does something, but ain't a diamond for the real thing. Going out and walking in the sun for a few minutes every day is infinitely more potent than taking all the vitamin D pills you can buy in Amazon. And yeah, like you said, for some people, going out the rays of the Achman of the sun can be feeding disease. Achman of the sun, skin cancer, terrible things can happen. Achman of the sun. So it's not even a dogma. What Chazal say, so years ago, people will laugh. What kind of thing is this? Today, scientifically, we know that this is true. That for some people, the rays of the sun are beneficial. For some people, it's harmful. So you're going to question what Chazal mean that it's not going to be so, that it's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he will reveal himself. For the tzaddikim will be a tainuk, and for the rishon it's going to be torture. Okay, next halacha. Shemesh b'Shabbos, and what does this mean exactly? Sun on Shabbos is tzedakah la'ani for the poor. We'll see what this means. Shenemar. What does that mean? I don't know what this means. I really don't know what this means. I'm going to make up a little bit more time. Shemesh b'Shabbos. When the sun is shining on Shabbos, this is tzedakah la'aniyim. I don't know. And for the people that are rich. What?
You don't have to buy medicine.
They don't. And what about the rich? For the rich, it's not
rich
tzedakah?
What to buy medicine?
You're saying so you...
Yes,
it's more or less after Tainus. I don't know, we have to go more on Tainus. What exactly this means? I should have looked it up. Shemesh, Lanim, it's a tzedakah for them? The rich people, they can use their money to buy an alternative. It's about artificial sun. If it's raining outside and the sun is not shining, it's cloudy, so the rich, they turn on the lights, they have electricity. They can have artificial light, it's just as good. But for the people who cannot afford to pay the electric bill, so for them, when the sun is shining, that doesn't sound like it's the correct shot.
With the sun on Shabbos, when you can't light candles and you can't keep yourself light,
yeah,
you're deficient because you don't have shemesh. So shemesh on Shabbos, the fact that we have a shemesh for Shabbos,
so only for the Aniyim. For the
Aniyim. It's like
Tzedakah.
Well, maybe the warmth.
That is. It's
warmth
like,
enough. They don't have
the...
heat. Whatever it is.
Oh, you want to say that when it's cold outside,
right.
So if a person is wealthy, so he has a fireplace.
Right.
He has a boiler, gas or oil. But a person who cannot afford to pay the heating bill,
yes.
So right. Then when it's warm outside, so then this is its stuff. I don't know. I hear, why only on Shabbos? What about during the week? Why only on Shabbos during the week as well? You're not at home. You're working, so you work. So you're not. I don't know. This is probably a pasuk shop in the Gemara. What?
The energy comes from
solar. Oh, so this is a whole new technology. This is renewable technology. Renewable technology, which is unreliable. Okay, no one called you for solar panels. I have a friend who he works in solar panels. I begged him. He told me my house is not eligible. He says, but he looks on the yield from. He shows me on his phone. He shows me the whole block. It's unbelievable. On the technology, he looks on the phone. He shows me the whole block. You see this house? You see the roof they have? You know, this is the perfect house. You know how much they can even make money. Your house? No way. Too many dormers. There's a lot of technology. Your house, but you're saying very good that today, these circumstances, obviously, they're going to have to be reanalyzed because today, a lot of renewable energy is coming from solar energy. You go on the highway, you see all over on the highway now. Yeah. Go on the highway, all over the place, you see solar panels. Even fields, big fields of solar panels, and it's obviously it's a big thing. And windmills, okay, windmills also. These are ruach, and the shemesh are becoming the sources of energy.
They're not
reliable.
Energy than they save.
What?
It's a whole. They use more energy than they save.
So it's a whole. It's a whole. But it's getting maybe one day it will be of benefit. Who knows? Now you're right. Now it's just powerful. Now it's more politics than it is a real deal. But who knows? Bo re'e, matan sechadon neshnema. Es Hashem kechatiru uchenegder v'zorcha. Look at the reward for the tzaddikim. It says in the pasuk, Es Hashem kechatiru uchenegder v'zorcha lochem yirei shmi shemesh tzedaka. Okay. It will be a shemesh tzedaka. You know, it's interesting over here that he talks about shemesh tzedaka even today. Marpe bichnofeha. Today, radiation is one of the very powerful forms of refuah. Okay, today the technology, you know, is getting more and more advanced. It used to be that radiation is very dangerous because they were not able to be precise, and in giving radiation, they destroy more good cells than of the bad cells that need to be eliminated. But you read in the news, radiation has advanced, Baruch Hashem, to a much no one should ever need this, but it has advanced to a much more stronger, much more beneficial way where they're able to be much, much more precise. And what is radiation in essence? Radiation is a shemesh of tzedakah. It is a form of light. It's an intense heat, it's an intense rays of light. And it's umarpe bichnofeha. It has the quality to bring healing today in the world. In the world today, there is this technology, and it's being used very all over the world. And it has advanced to a degree where you see also the words of Chazal that were said 3,000 years ago. You see how these things, they come to life in the end of days. Let's go further. B'schus atzitzis, next Chazal, B'schus atzitzis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazriach etzor or la'tzadikim, in the merit of tzitzis, tzitzis. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazriach etzor or la'tzadikim, la'salov HaShem HaKadosh, we'll give light, la'salov HaShemar, v'zorcho l'chem yirei shmi shemesh tzaka, u'marpei bichnofecha. The drash over here is based on the words the kinofayim, the corners. Whenever it says corners refers to what? Which mitzvah in the Torah is there that involves the corners of one's garment? Tzitzis. So the fact that this word is selected in this pasuk is coming to teach us, according to this Chazal, that it is in the zuchus of the corners of tzitzis, one will merit to this bracha of the shining of the sun. And what is the connection? It's very obvious what the connection is. Is in order to see, you need light. What is the purpose of the tzitzis? V'loy sosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem asher atem zoynim achareh. Look at the tzitzis. Use the tzitzis as a tool to guard yourself. Shmirah seinayim. So, bichnofeha u'marpei bichnofeha in the merit of what is on the corners of your garments. If a person takes it seriously, on the corners of his garment that tzitzis, and fulfills the purpose of the mitzvah, or re'isim oisot, v'zachartim, it's called mitzvah Hashem, You guard your eyes, shmira senayim. The merit will be that you will be blessed with shemesh, with the ability to see, with the rays of light. Rays of light is the most basic element a person needs to be able to see the beautiful world and to witness the gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
If I may, the Gemara Tainis, you know, Ches Amud Beis, which he quotes, explains that the Iyan Yaakov explains that what the Shabbos and the poor people, what does that have to do with anything? He says on the Shabbos, the Iyan Yaakov brings, on Shabbos, the poor people, it's after the poor ones, they eat delicacies in which they are unaccustomed during the week.
They get sick.
You know, the rich people, yeah, right.
And
this causes internal disorders, see Sanhedrin, etc., 101. Thus, the healing properties of the sun are of special benefit to the poor on this day.
They need more than the wealth, because the wealthy, their body, right. They're used to eating delicacies the entire week.
Right.
So their body has adjusted.
Right.
Evolution. Darwinism. Their body has adjusted and is able to handle the food, therefore they don't get sick when they have good food on Shabbos. It has no effect on them because they're used to having good food the entire week. But the poor, who only have good food on Shabbos, they come to the Kiddush and they're served good food. Their body's not accustomed. They get sick.
Right.
So therefore, they need the shemesh. They need the benefit, the healing properties of the sun on Shabbos much, much more than the wealthy, because they, anyway, nothing will happen to them because their body is accustomed to having good food. Excellent. Very good shot. Okay, but this is a very beautiful Maamar Chazal, very apropos in our generation. There's never been a generation that has the nisayon of shmiras einayim like our generation. Today, a person can see in 5 minutes more bad things than our grandparents can see their entire life, no matter how hard they tried. It's a frightening thing. Today, on just a little teeny device, you can mamash have access to the worst things in the world, like that, just by moving your finger here and there. It's very, very frightening. And Shmiras Einayim is a very frightening thing. And here it says that in the Zuchus of Tzitzis, in that merit, a person is zoche to the shemesh, the ability to see well, and marpei bichnoferho, and healing as well. Incredible, incredible thing. Okay, let's now go to the next Maamar Chazal. We almost finished. I will crush Rishoyim. I actually, you learned yesterday the Gemara. You're right. Yesterday, that Daf Yud Zayin, Rosh Hashanah, it's shocking. Was exactly this very pasuk. This pasuk in detail, all the different the dinim of Gehenna. How long will the Rishoyim be in Gehenna? 12 months, forever. All the different rules. Vasoisem Rishoyim, the wicked will be crushed. They will be squeezed and pulverized. The wicked people. Can you efer tachas kapos raglechem? They will be ash underneath of the soles of their feet of the tzaddikim. Poyshei shol this mouth the daf yesterday's daf. Look, Roshana daf yitzayin. Poyshei Yisrael begufan. What does it mean begufan? Karkafta deloy monach tefillin. This is the gemara of the Lubavitch. This is the what's it called the mamish the shoresh of one of the biggest contributions that Lubavitch has brought to this world is every person should put on tefillin. There should not be chas v'shalom in klal Yisrael, a poishei Yisrael begufan. Every person must put on tefillin. How often? So what does Rabbi Nechanan say yesterday? Yesterday's daf, 10 lines down on the Rabbi Nechanan. Poishei Yisrael begufan means a skol d'loy monach tefillin le'oilam, once in their life. Doesn't mean that a person misses one day of wearing tefillin. Chas v'shalom, that's the mamash or nightmare. A person should chas v'shalom miss even one day not to wear tefillin. But this halacha, the poyeshei yisholim, means to go your entire life from cradle to the grave and not have put on tefillin, a kosher, a pair of tefillin on your head. That's what the Gemara means, poyeshei yisholim. Rabbi Nechanan says it means le'oilam. They never put on tefillin their entire life. And what did the Rebbe, Zechet Tzadik Kodesh Kavocha, what did he do? He went and he campaigned, there should not chas v'shalom be a Jew in this world. that is a Peshe Yisrael the Gufan. Unbelievable.
The most important one they got missed for that is if they have from parents or whatever, but they become the missed, usually they call on to fucking.
Not the point. It should not be once in their life. Now, what is it going to do? What are those? So the Gemara says, what does that? It means arayos. Goyim, who are those who are nichshol in gilui arayos, is what the Gemara defines as from the umay so'olam begufam, yardin legehenim v'nidonim ba'ashneim asachosh for 12 months. That was the Gemara's maskan, 12 months for these begufam. And regular, what are all the rules? The chazov yesterday's daf. A tzaddik gomor, not even one avera, he goes straight to Gan Eden. Straight to Gan Eden. What is... I'm sorry, I take that back. A tzaddik gomor means, I take that back, it means the majority. If 51% mitzvahs right, and only 49% avera, it's not bad. Like frum. Frum means in Yiddish, full of rishus. And a few, how do you say in Yiddish? From. Full of rishos and only a few mitzvahs. That's what it means to be. And less mitzvahs. Full of rishos and less mitzvahs. In Yiddish. That's what from stands for. But there's truth to that. Because all you need to have is 51% mitzvahs. Whatever that means, these numbers really mean nothing. And that means the person goes straight to Gan Eden. Straight to Gan Eden.
Doesn't need any
that's what the Gemara says. That's called a tzaddik gomor. A tzaddik gomor doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It just means roiv. Roiv is good enough. What about a rasha gomor? You would think a rasha gomor means 100%. The Rashi says explicit. No. A rasha gomor means majority averos. 51% averos, 49% mitzvos, he goes to Gehenna. For how long? It does not say. It does not say how long he goes for. Maybe he goes for a week, maybe he goes for a day, maybe he goes for a couple of hours, maybe a few months. But for sure, it's not 12 months. That is for sure. It is for sure not 12 months. It is less than, there's a sentence, whatever the issue, whatever, it can be a day, it can be even walking through. You have all these chassid shemaislach where the rush is just, the person is just to walk, you have to just pass through. You have to walk through and see what's going on, you don't have to go.
It would depend on how serious the
obviously, but the person is, the majority is mitzvahs, and the majority are averos, and the miyot are mitzvos. He goes to get it for a short period of time. Then the next category was 50-50. Exactly on the dot. 50% mitzvahs, 50% averos. And the Gemara gives two examples. Now what is included in the 50% of averos? So if in the 50% of averos is not putting on tefillin, then he has to go to Gehenim for at least a moment, a sha'ah. If it's in the 50% of averos does not include an avero called begufan, he does not need to go to Gehenim. Then is machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, he has to still go to Gehenim for how long? Rashi says sha'ah, for a moment, and in that moment he cries out to Hashem and Hashem takes him out. Daloisi v'liyoh yeshia. Beis Hillel says v'rav chesed. 50-50, you wait around, Hashem will come tilted in your favor, no gerim at all. And then the Gemara goes to the Poyshe Yisrael Begufan. What is Poyshe Yisrael Begufan? That is the Loi Manach Karkafta, the Loi Manach Tilm. That's the only thing it says. It's very obviously it means more than that. And that's the person who goes to Gehenim for 12 months. So you can ask the question, every single person that you find in Ovel that is saying Kaddish for his parents or for someone else, how long do they stay Kaddish for? Yes. Approximately 12 months. So that means they're basically making a statement that the person I'm saying Kaddish for is a Poyshe Yisrael Begufan. Oh, so that's why we stop early, because we don't want to make that statement, right? Because it says in the Gemara, that the 12 months is only for Poyshe Yisrael Begufan. If it's not on that serious level, the gufan, then they don't go to Gehenna for 12 months. They go less. Either they'll go for a sha'ah, for a moment, or they'll go for a period of time, which we don't know what that period of time is, but it's certainly less than 12 months. Or Hashem will come along and say, no. The Rav Chesed, Mate, you don't have to go. Hashem will tilt it with Tzad Chesed. Only Begufan. And what is Begufan? The Gemara only says one thing. Akarkafta deloy manach tfilin. Now, on a very similar level, it means, it doesn't work, but obviously you can't take the Gemara literally. It means, what does the mitzvah of tfilin represent? It represents something very mystical, very deep, very, 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 esoteric, and whatever the mitzvah tilin, those type of averos, whatever that refers to. Verokol ame aritzki shame Hashem nikur olecha. Person is lacking that, and those people go for 12 months. So isn't it amazing that when we say kaddish, we're saying kaddish basically for 12 months, basically making a statement that this person, we're afraid. Who knows? Maybe he's in the category of poishay yishol begufan. We should just say kaddish the most one time. Just in case he needs to go to again lefi sha'ah for a few moments. You took him out again with one kaddish. No, we go all the way for 12 months. Pretty shocking. So that's what Mr. Stern just said. Dr. Stern just said that we don't. We stop short, and we do it less than 12 months in order that we should not make that statement. How much less do you do? There are many minhagim. Most people do 11 months and one day. Some do 12 months minus a day. Some do 11 months and a week. Some do 11 months and 2 weeks. Oh, there's so many different minhagim. Most people today do 11 months and one day. But there's a very big nafkamina. That's only true for a child, for a parent. Let's say, Rahman Litzlan, there's no one to say Kaddish.
They're paying someone.
Then, if I'm not mistaken, the halacha is the person says it for 12 months, a complete 12 months. Only a child has it. It's a chutzpah. For a child to say about his father, 12 months, he's a poishe yishol begufan.
It's keep it up.
What?
Isn't it
a
keep it up?
What? No, it's a bezoin to the father.
Right.
It's a bezoin to the father to go for 12 months. Because you're saying that my father, he was a poishe yishol begufan. So you stop early, 11 months and one day. But if it's not a child, the person is being paid by the family, or just stop, there's a relative, then, if I'm not mistaken, then the person is supposed to say for 12 months. Then the child, what happens if the father says to the child, my child, I'm soon going to pass from this world. I'm commanding you. When you say Kaddish to me, say it to the very end.
Yeah.
Say it. So then does the child listen?
Yes, right now.
Not so posh. It's a machlokes is a poiske. I don't think he listens.
Because I'm sorry for his children.
Yeah. 12 months. He told them. Did they listen? Do they listen? Yeah. I don't know if they listen. I don't know. It's a lot of like,
you think that 1 month is a difference?
Well, listen, we know nothing.
You already went through 11 months.
Man, you're saying very good, but we know nothing.
Yeah,
you're right. You are
100%
right.
It's cool.
We know what goes on there. We know nothing. To us, this is just, it's just words. This is all, okay, but still, halacha, halacha. So like, it's like when a person says, I command no hespedim. Do they listen? It depends, yesh v'yesh. So this type of thing also, if the parent says to the children, I want you to say kash for 12 months, do you listen? Yesh v'yesh. There are different opinions on this matter, who the person was, what the circumstances.
If the father says, I don't want you to say kash.
I think that you don't listen. That
you
don't
do listen.
Not to say kash?
Yeah, you can be meichel on this kash.
No.
I'm not so sure.
What
about
are you
that.
Say?
Why is anybody say that?
It's not in the father's, it's not him to be moichel. These are different types of shaylas. It's a variation, it's a different type of questions. In any event, it's 12 months. What about a leap year? What about this year, 13 months? No such thing. Gehenim, there are no Ibiyars in Gehenim. Gehenim is a lunar. Lunar cycle, the sun. Think about it. You think Pumfaker? It's gonna be 365 days. It's the sun. It's the Shemesh. It's fire. The source of fire is the sun.
It should be because the source is the
flood, Mafos.
There was a one-year Mishpat Shal Gehenim is a Shana Tanima from day 17 to 27. A solar year. You're right, I don't know, but that's how long the Kaddish is only said, it's 12 months. The Avelus ends after 12 months, even in a leap year. Even a leap year is a delay until the yard site, but it's only 12 months. In any event, this over here, this is the Dami Chazal, and it says here that this pasuk of is the Begufon. Begufon, by the way, it's one of the very important halacha. So someone's told me, you put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? I said, no way. I don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin.
Did Rabbeinu Tam put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin?
Did Rabbeinu Tam wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin?
No. Our present day Rabbeinu Tam is not like Rabbeinu Tam.
Because there's all the other shinui.
Right.
When we say Rabbeinu Tam, we just mean the order of the parish. Of course, we don't refer to, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the parish have to be, in the tzilin have to be flat. There are a lot of shinui, right? When we say Rabbeinu Tam, we just mean the order of the parishios. But, so someone said, some people live by this, I don't know how accurate this is that a person, based upon this chazal, that a person, basically Rabbeinu Chananel, that it means le'oilon, that a person who does not wear Rabbeinu Tam, a real misnagid, who does not wear Rabbeinu, it's not really the misnagid, it's the Shulchan Aruch, it's the Mechaber, it's the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Tam Tolan, is that a person should at least once in his life put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. One day he comes, davening is over, he has a few minutes, and he has a friend, no, not a Cholam Moed. And he has a friend, and he has Rabbeinu Tam, and you have a few minutes, you're not rushing to work that day, can I put on your Rabbeinu Tam? So you don't make a bracha, chas v'shalom, no bracha. Why? You should not be a poishe Yisrael begufon, a karkafta deloy manach tzil lefi Rabbeinu Chanan lo'oilam with regard to Rabbeinu Tam. The din of karkafta, the loy monach tefillin, is lo'oilam. Just got a weird once in your life. Well, Lubavitch. Put on tefillin once in your life, so there should not be in Klal Yisrael. Hashem should not say about Klal Yisrael that we have in my nation, poishe Yisrael begufon. Everyone in Klal Yisrael put on tefillin. My chassidim make sure everyone put on tefillin. What?
You're going to start a new thing.
Did you put Rabbeinu Tam tefillin?
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. What? So there is such a thing. Now, how seriously do you take this? I don't know. I don't know if this is something very serious. There are people who are who at the end of their lives put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin every single day. But someone said, I once read this somewhere, or maybe someone told this to me, is that you should put on once in your life. Because since it's called Kaft, the Loi Monach Tefillin, is Le'olam, and there's a Shita Rabbeinu Tam. And according to our Masorah, it appears, I mean, it seems to be, before the Tekuf of the Rishonim, during the era of the Bayis, during the era of the Bayis, Rishon Bayis Sheni, it appears, a Masorah, you cannot prove this, is that everyone in Klal Yisrael, the primary tefillin was the order of what we call Rabbeinu Tam. The order of the parashos was Shema, Kadesh, Rekviyacha, and then V'hoya Im Shmoya and Shema, the order of Rabbeinu Tam. This was the tefillin that the Olam made a bracha on. And what we call Rashi was secondary. For some reason, after the Churban, even much after the Churban, maybe even during the time of the Ge'oinim, or even during the time of the Rishonim, there was a shift. And for some reason, the halacha evolved where it became accepted in Klal Yisrael just the opposite. That mikano lahaba, the ikar tefillin, will be what we call Rashi tefillin, and Rabbeinu Tam is secondary. So you can't go just discount Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. It's just, you know, hayluchot v'hayluchot. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a lot of Torah on this. But it should not be karkaf le'monach tefillin. The person once in their life should put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, like we've learned over here. Let's finish up this Mamech Chazal. It says over here, it's going to be the poyish sheishol begufon, v'asoysem b'shoyim shem asochosh kol v'nishrev. So what happened to these people? After shem asochosh, gufon kole, their body is going to be consumed. v'nishmasa misrafes, and their neshama is burned, very frightening. The guf is koleh, and the neshama is misrafes. Talk about cremation. Isn't this very bizarre? Cremation is where they take, they switch it. They do, the people who are Rachmana Litzlan, who did not, many of them are Tinik Shanishbal, did not have an opportunity to understand the cremation by them is mamish pumfakert. They burn their guf and they declare, what difference does it make? My neshama, when I die, is kolah. It comes to an end. There's no olam haba. It goes nowhere. It doesn't go anywhere. It's kolah. My life source is kolah. Memela, my neshama, my guf, has to be nisrefes. It's just the opposite by the Rishon. It's their guf. Their guf is kolah. Their body comes to an end. It stops functioning. Doesn't say that the body is burned. It stops functioning. And their neshama is nisrefes. It's a very, very, very frightening and unsettling thing what it says here. The gufon is kolah. And nishmas and misrepas. Though again, those who engage in cremation, many of them, unfortunately, not all of them.
It's terrible. It's outside of Orthodox circles, people are cremated left and right.
Why do they do that?
To be obedient.
Yeah.
They don't have to go travel.
They hate themselves.
The course, or a lot of people say, there's nobody's going to visit me, which is all true. Unfortunately, it's really true. And they just want to disappear.
They hate themselves. Is that what it is?
No.
I don't know. I really don't know. I have a Jewish neighbor. They're not religious at all. He was a lay, and I grew up. She was a woman, an older woman. And as time passed, she aged significantly. The last time I saw her, she could barely walk. She was shriveled. She was obviously very, very sick. And then I didn't see her for a long time. And the daughter and the son-in-law, they bought the house from her, it seems, and they live in the house. And I asked, where is, I haven't seen him in a while. Is she okay? How is she? So he says to me, yeah, she's upstairs somewhere in the closet. I said, what? In the closet? She was cremated. And we have her ash. And it's in a jar. It's in a vase. And it's an urn. It's in the closet somewhere. I don't know, somewhere in the closet. What? That's what you did to her? That's what she wanted? She was Jewish, 100% Jewish. She was Jewish, it's pretty very very sad. V'ruach mifazartan tachas. Where is their dust today? They spread their dust. Where are the seven seeds? For an extra fee, we will disperse your dust. You know, on the East River, New York, okay, in the Hudson, for an extra fee, the Atlantic, the seven seeds. What?
It's illegal,
yeah?
Yeah, you can't get a license to do it.
Okay, so v'nishmasim tachas. So here Chazal said that's not the way it goes. The place where the dust goes is tachas. It says here that the neshama, the dust of the neshama, the dust of the neshama is tachas, the kapos, the souls, the raglet tzadikim, and it comes from this pasuk. Shenema va'asoysem rishoim, the wicked people, they will be pulverized. And what is it going on according to this Chazal? It's going on their neshama. Ki yihiyu, you will be the wicked, efer, esh, tachas kapas raglechem, the souls of the tzaddikim. Poyesha yishol beguvim ma'inin, who are the poyesha yishol beguvim? Rav karkaftalim manach tfilin, a skull that did not wear tfilin. Poyesha umos olim beguvim amarav ba'avera, which Rashi there says, shol gili arayas. And obviously what it means over here when it comes to tfilin, because what does tfilin really represent? It represents a Jew presenting himself in this world as a Maimin Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Obviously, Al Derech Pshat, Tzillin means you put on Tzillin on your head. But Al Derech Drush, in the bigger picture, what does it say about the Tzillin Shel Rosh? V'rohu kol Amei Ha'aretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Olecha. How does a Jew show that Hashem's name is written upon him? What does it say in the Tzillin? What does it say? Gesundheit. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. A self-hating Jew is be'etzem a karkaf v'lemon achzor. Don't go tell me that the Lubavitch is going to hold of this politician and they put Tzillin on him. Oh, very nice. The Lubavitch put Tzillin on this guy when he was bar mitzvah, he put on Tzillin. His whole essence in society, in representing Jews, is there's no God in this world. There's no God. We're part of society. Everything goes. There's no morals. There are no values. The Bible is in the library, in the museum. There's no life. That is what it means. Like our kaf, the way monach tefillin. Tefillin is it represents your presence.
You mean it's as opposed to a rosh, it's a more demeaning term. You're saying
no. It means a karkafta means a skull.
I'm saying compared to a rosh, it's a more demeaning term, right?
Demeaning. I'm not going there. I don't know. I don't mean to say this var by focusing on the word karkafta.
Okay.
For this purpose, even the head. But it's very similar. What it means. It means a person, a Jew, lives in this world, and he rejects Judaism. He rejects Judaism. God? I don't know. I never heard of him. I don't know what God is. I don't know what Hashem is. You renounce your Judaism. A Jew's role in this world, no matter where he stands in his hashkafa, the most basic element, even an irreligious Jew, is Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Look at Kach. Remember the mayor? His honor? So he wasn't very religious, okay, at all. But he was a person that you would say about him that he was manach tefillin. I'm a Jew. What did he write in his matzeva? What he wrote? Shema Yisrael. He wrote on his matzeva Shema Yisrael, and he said that's about Daniel Pearl. What did he say? He wrote on his matzeva about Daniel.
Because that's what Daniel Pearl said.
He was proud to be a Jew. I'm a Jew. He wasn't very religious at all. Maybe he had some issues, but he was a person. That's right. I'm proud to be a Jew. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He is not called a karkafta d'loy monach tefillin. Unfortunately, there are Jews out there who, your mother, you're Jew. No. I want to have nothing to do with this religion. In fact, I'll do anything in my power to make life miserable for my Achenu B'nai Yisrael.
Bernie Sanders called
Jews. You got it. Okay, you can go list a dime a dozen of these type of people. Oh, but the Babish got a hold of them, and they put on tefillin, and they have a picture of putting on tefillin. Good for you. Yeah. You put on tefillin. That's not what it means. Karkafta d'loimar. Karkafta means V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz. Kishem Hashem nigro alech. When the world looks at this person, when New York City looks at Kach, he was a Jew. That's right. That's a success. He was a Jew. He wasn't Shoyim Shabbos? No, not his fault. No, he wasn't Shoyim, whatever it is. It is it. But he's a Jew. And what is a Jew? Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When the world looks at a person, he's a self-hating Jew. He will do whatever he can to uproot his Yiddishkeit. That's a karkafta deloy manach tefillin. That's pashut. Okay, we'll stop over here, take a short break.